thought that would be a good way to start off the new year. I want to wish you all a happy, but more importantly, a joyous new year. If you haven't heard me say it before, I have no qualms about repeating it. Happiness is a feeling. It comes and it goes. But joy comes with understanding. And when we understand, that can never be taken away. Had a tough time getting that one out. 2017. Who would have thought I'd have lived this long? But thanks be to God, He's still using me here. And I want to start this year off with some teaching that understanding might come. Now, we played the song at the opening, and it is a wonderful praise song to God, who is worthy of all praise and worship. So the subject today is that of worth-ship. Worship, it's a contraction of two words, worth-ship. Now that's the introduction. This is the God School. I happen to be the voice at the God School, but I want to bring you this morning another voice, that is that of my pastor. I came across an old article. It was done 12 years ago, in which Dr. Scott was interviewed. The subject of the interview, first fruits, giving, and tithing. It starts out with a question. Some people have never heard about first fruits. Can you explain it? Answer: it's very simple. First fruits is the first produce. It's the first receipts of labor, the first income that you receive the year or from in the year or from any new venture. Question: how is first fruits different from tithes and or offerings? Answer: well, first I'll answer it by saying where they are alike. Tithes are distinct from offerings because offerings are voluntary giving out of that which the Lord allows us to keep. The tithe is the Lord's. This is added to the article by me. The verse of scripture he's quoting is Leviticus 27:30. And it reads, "All the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord." Now that word holy means separated, means it's God's. Let's go on. "The tithe is the Lord's. It isn't ours. It belongs to the Lord." And most of the world thinks they own what they have. Those that have been bought by the blood of Christ understand that the earth is the Lord's and that we are the Lord's. And he's made a good deal for us. He has promised to bless the 90% if we recognize his ownership by giving what is his to him. To keep the tithe is to be a thief and a robber, according to Malachi. First fruits, likewise, are the Lord's. That is Exodus 23:19, wherein it reads, "The first of the first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring unto the house of the Lord thy God." First fruits, likewise, are the Lord's. To give the first fruits is to recognize God's ownership, and that whatever we receive, whatever we gain, and whatever we get from our labor, from our life, is God's provision, and we give him the first fruits. Question. If we look to the Old Testament examples, they would be what? Well, let me pick a very shocking one first. When they came out of the wilderness into the promised land, it may seem strange that the first city they took, which was in essence taking possession of the land, Jericho, they were not allowed to keep even one piece of silver, one garment. Everything in that city belonged to the Lord, because that was the first victory, the first taking of a city. That was the first of many that they were to take in obtaining the promise of Canaan. And not one shred of anything was allowed to be kept by the people, because this was the first fruits, that city. It all belonged to the Lord. And the great sin of Achan was that he decided he could keep a few little trifling items and hide them in his tent. He paid with his life, the life of his family, and the entire camp suffered. There's nothing more drastically portraying of God's sensitivity to the first fruits belonging to him than that example. Our response to that recognition is a response of honesty in relationship to God. We do not steal what belongs to the Lord, and we receive his blessings on what also belongs to the Lord, but he lets us keep. Now, the minute that they came out of the ark, Noah provided an offering from the first fruits of the vineyard. The first fruits every year were to be brought, and when the crops were harvested, the first fruits were to be brought to the Lord and given to the Lord. And there was the added benefit promise that an angel would go before them the rest of the year. That's Exodus 23:20, wherein it reads, "Behold, I," speaking of the one participating in the first fruits to the Lord, "behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way and bring you into the place which I," God speaking, "have prepared." Back to the text. That an angel would go before them the rest of the year, protect and look out for them. And if they didn't give the first fruits, the angel would be their enemy. But that's really the icing on the cake, or terror to those that disobey. The simple, honest understanding is the tithe is the Lord's and the first fruits belong to the Lord. The first of anything that we have, the first week of the year, the first profit from a new venture. First fruits are not any more complicated than tithe. Tithe means 10%. First fruits means the first of anything that you get. If you buy a lottery ticket and win the lottery on the first ticket, it's the Lord's. Question. So I just asked you about the Old Testament examples. What about the New Testament example? Well, answer, well, it's totally irrelevant to the New Testament because they were not yet taught on all the principles of the Old Testament. It took time to fill in their understanding. And they had the Spirit of God in them, which is the Spirit of giving. In fact, 2 Corinthians 8 says that the proof positive that we have the genuine Spirit of God in us is the way we give. And God loves the hilarious giver. God gave His Son. His Son gave His life. If the Spirit of God is in us, we have the mind of Christ. It makes givers out of us. The New Testament Christians gave everything. So to preach the tithe to them was meaningless because they'd already given 100%. The first fruits was meaningless because they had already given the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, and tenth fruits. They gave it all. Now, some say that tithing is not a New Testament doctrine. That's false. Jesus said concerning the tithe, and the detail in which the Pharisees kept the tithe of every little unit that they figured the 10% on, he says, this ye ought to have done. That's, excuse me, Matthew 23:23. Let's just read it. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, faith. We taught on that here. These, Jesus said, ye ought to have done, speaking of the tithes, and not to leave the others undone. But it really has, back to the Dr. Scott's answers, but it really has no meaning in the teaching of the New Testament because they gave 100%. It's only as you begin to understand the full principle of giving from the Old Testament that you understand the tithe becomes a tendency to limit, not a tendency, but a ceiling on giving. And there's a first, a second, and a third tithe. They gave the first tithe, which is 10% of all they have. The second tithe is 10% of all your earnings, and the third tithe was laid aside to pay the bill, to go to the three great feasts in Jerusalem, which is laid aside to pay your gas and your expenses of going to and from the house of God, to keep your worship going. New Testament Christians gave it all. That wasn't God's plan. He doesn't want it all. He wants the tithe. He wants to bless what we are allowed to keep with His blessing. He'll curse what we have until you be cursed with 100%, and would make a lot more with the blessing of God on the 90% after tithing and first fruits. Question. There's been a lot of distortion on giving. You have taught for 30 years how people should give. If you could, briefly, in a few words, say what giving should mean. If you could say in a few words, say what giving should mean, you would say, answer, we are creatures. We have needs. God is the creator. He has no need. The first thing I'd say is what a shame it is that people in the churches raise money as though God needs the money. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. God doesn't need our money. Jesus told his disciples not to take a script, which was a begging bag that heathen priests carried to beg money for their gods. God doesn't want us to be beggars for Him. God's the provider. Now, C.S. Lewis said, C.S. Lewis said it brilliantly. He says, God, as creator, has no needs. We, as creatures, have needs. God was kind enough to humble Himself to meet one of our greatest needs, the need to be needed. God could do His work with angels. He doesn't need us. But God bowed Himself in humility and let us partner with Him, and lets us give as an expression of value for God, His Word, and the opportunity to serve Him. Now, we need to understand the distinction between the tithes and the offerings. The tithe is the Lord's. That gets to the guts of honesty in relationship to God. That gets to the guts of whether or not we recognize we are bought with a price, and we are not our own. That gets to the guts of the Lord's ownership of everything, and the rest of the world are squatters on His territory. And we as Christians recognize his ownership. And we are honest in our dealings with God as he is faithful in his dealings with us. And we give because we recognize we are the Lord's and the earth is the Lord's. And we believe that he has promised without any qualification to bless those who honor him with their tithes and offerings. Offerings go beyond the tithe and is a voluntary expression of value. Galatians 6 says, let him who is taught in the word share, koinonia, the Greek word, share with the one who taught him in all good things. That's not spiritual prayers. That's things. Boats, houses, land, money, jewels. God's not needing any of this, but he wants us to express our understanding of the value of who he is and what he's done for us. All giving should be worship. It is worth-ship. A contraction of two words. I once saw an engineer say the offering was a downer on the service. I thought, my Lord, what a bad foundation of truth has been planted in him. The most worshipful act that we do in the church, giving out of a heart of gratitude to God, an expression of value. And when you go out in the world to buy something, you express value. You put down hard-earned money, the fruit of your labor for something that you value. The true Christian values God and his word above all things, and we express it by bringing the fruit of our labor and giving of offerings beyond what is already the Lord's, the tithe and the first fruits. Question. You've already answered most of the questions. I know you have to hear somewhat often people say, I don't know if I can make it. I don't know if I can participate in First Fruits. What would you say to that? Answer, well, would you rather make it with God on your side or make it alone with God against you? And that's the simple answer. In other words, you want to do it your way or God's way? Question. You've said God loves a hilarious giver. And we don't give to get. But what should people keep in their minds and their hearts when they give, considering most people don't understand about giving? Answer. Well, I would say this. In Luke 14, Jesus said, no man can come after me except he forsake all. And he lists all the things to be forsaken, the family, houses, land. But he also states the paradoxical truth that no man has forsaken all, but what he receives many times that, not only in the life to come, but here also, now. The paradox is the forsaking. Let me reread that. Now, the paradox is the forsaking is without motive to get. But when you cross that hurdle and you give to God because of your love and value and worth-ship expression to Him, it triggers a response from Him. It's like, I often teach the difference between phileo, one Greek word translated love, which is a mutual love, and agapao, another word in the Greek translated love also, which God calls forth, which is an uncalculated giving of yourself to the other because of the intrinsic value or worth of the object. Everybody likes phileo. We'd like to love and then be guaranteed that we get love back the same way. But when people are doing for me to get, it makes me look out for me. If I'm drowning and somebody risks their life to pull me from the water, I'm not going to have to talk myself into liking them on the bank. That's the power of agapao. It's a paradox. Complicated. But when God sees us giving without calculation, He gives us more than we can give to Him. That's the paradoxical truth. And God loves the hilarious giver because the hilarious giver is giving out of happiness. It is the way you are when you first fall in love with someone. Or you have that bright-eyed baby that brought new life in your home. You don't have to be whipped into giving. You have great joy in giving to the object of your love, God, who sees the heart, sees that expression from the true giver of love and worthship, and uncalculating in his effort, and he loves that hilarious giver. But paradoxically, he also is going to hilariously give back. And the one unqualified promise regarding tithing in Malachi is, prove me now herewith, and see if you honor me with your tithes and offerings, that I don't give you a blessing that you can't contain. Now, it may not be the blessing that we define, but it's the blessing that the God of all goodness will provide to us. Yea, and yea, you're never going to know till you try. And you ain't never going to know till you keep doing it, no matter what. Question. If you had one thing in the church world today that you would like to see happen, it would be what? Answer. A change in the frame of reference to where God is preached because of who He is, rather than God being preached because of what He does for you. Question. Where do you send your first fruits, tithes, and offerings? You send them where you get your spiritual food. To the storehouse. Pay where you eat. Who do you make the check out to is a question. Answer, whomever teaches you. And that's the end of the interview with my pastor, Dr. Gene Scott. Now, to those of you who participate in the God School in tithes and offerings and first fruits, this message is meant to encourage you of that Spirit of God that is in you that makes you give the way you give. To those of you who tune in time to time, if you're listening to this, it is meant to tell you the truth about worshiping or worth-shipping to God, that you might begin to do it God's way. I think that this year, 2017, is going to be an exciting year. Now, that word could be a two-edged sword. Meaning, I think it can be very positive. It is going to be very positive to those who are doing it God's way, who understand God's way. It says, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee and in whose heart are the ways of thee, that is God. I don't think the world has ever seen a year like 2017 is going to be. I believe the Spirit of God will wax stronger. I believe the spirit of our enemy, the devil, the god of this world, who in the end is impotent, but will regardless continue to fight. And I, for one, know not only do I want that angel leading me in the way, but I like the rest of the promise. But But if, Exodus 23, 22, but if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy to thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. For my angel shall go before thee and bring thee unto the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, and all those other ites, and I will cut them off. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images, and ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water. And I, God speaking, will take sickness away from the midst of thee. And there shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren. That is, your efforts are not going to be fruitless. And the number of thy days I will fulfill. And I will send my fear before thee, and I will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come, and I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. And I will send hornets before thee. Honor God with your first fruits. Honor him because of who he is and the promises that not only go along with the faith of first fruits participation, but all the promises of God are in Christ Jesus, yea, and in him, amen. That is, in him, no doubt. A joyous New Year to you all. And that's the God School for today.